help you find this, I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes and see Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find this, I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change.
Bear a cross, bear fruit, wear cloth with the logo. Show it off, it's so cold, but most don't know. Fruits are the things that show forth the evidence of the spirit inside. You can see them like a photo. Click. So when I don't flow, you should see kindness. It shouldn't have to look hard to find this. Everybody knows what it is. Let me define this and take a look at the motives behind it. This is another attribute of God's divineness. We share in it cause in His image He designed us. But we don't reflect that in the proper light cause we're broken. We put our votes in, humanity is pro-sin. So then, God decides to show men kindness despite the fact we never chose Him. Or should I say choose Him? We chunking them deuces. Silly come pursues us with irresistible love, He woos us. The truth is, fruits are the proof that He moved in. If they not growing, then we living in illusion. For our iniquity, they bruised Him, boosted Him up on that tree. For you and me, the good news is His kindness leads us to repentance. God and man can be friends since Christ took the bid for our death sentence.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change.
Dry branches, brittle, easily broke. They only good as firewood, throw them in the smoke. Once they detach from the vine, then they quit growing. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not getting soaked in the riches of His word. No time in His presence, I'ma give Him my best. And not just a couple of seconds, so check it. You ever spent so much time with a person? You started talking like him, man, watch and learn. See the company that you keep is certainly gonna determine how you walk, how you talk. That's why I be hurting when we don't spend time in that book. And our prayers are lifeless, then wonder why we as His children don't look like Him. So tell me, what good is fruit if others don't take a bite in? When they get a taste, do they see Christ in? If not, then don't go fake it till they do. Go back to the root, see Christ abide in the mirror.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change. Let me help you find it. Show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change.
Hello, hello, good evening, good evening. I am Kathy Cliver, and I want to welcome all of you to Runner for Christ Ministries Interactive Wednesday Bible Class. We thank God for each one of you that joins in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading from our new book series from the Union Gospel Press. If you would like to get a book to follow along in the class, please go to runningforchristministries.org. That's rfcm.org, rfcm.org. And click on Bible Classes. Then click Bible Class, and there is a link to purchase the book there. Okay? If you want to follow along and you don't have a book, just turn or click in your Bible to the book of Ephesians 6:10-24. That is Ephesians 6:10-24. Okay, and we will read those scriptures and more scriptures related to those in the lesson text. Following that, we will answer the questions. Okay, if you would like to take part in answering the questions or make a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to speak. This means that your mic may be open for the entire class. But please do us a huge favor by protecting our ears from background noises. And a good way to do this is to just keep your phone muted whenever you are not speaking and unmute it only when you want to speak. Okay? All right. So let's get started. Let us pray. Lord Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this day, this beautiful day that you have made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for life, love, family, and fellowship. We thank you for the for Pastoral and the avenue of Blog Talk and Bible Study, and for the opportunity to study and learn what your word says. Father, thank you for all the listeners and the participants. And Lord, protect us from being misled by worldly evil trickery, and that we stay focused on your word and do what it says. Help us to keep the full armor of God on to use in furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Okay, hello, everybody out there. Hope everyone is fine.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hey, hey. Glad you guys are aboard. And so we'll get started. And our lesson is, topic of our lesson is spiritual armor. Spiritual armor. And the lesson text is Ephesians 6, 10 through 24. Ephesians 6, 10 through 24. And we have some related scriptures, which are Romans 8, 26 through 27. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11, and the time was A.D. 60, and the place was from Rome, okay? The golden text is, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's Ephesians 6, 11, okay? Now, can I get someone to kindly read the scripture lesson text on page 47?
All right.
Okay, and if someone wants to read the first paragraph, paragraph, and then someone might want to read, you know, from 6 to 17, then somebody else might want to read 18 to 24. We could do that, okay? Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Eric.
Yes.
Okay. You can continue, or someone else want to read 18 through 24?
Okay, I'll read 18 to 24.
Thank you.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preference and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and know how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know and that he might comfort your heart. Peace be with the brethren, and love with faith from God and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you both for reading that. Okay. And like I said, the golden text is, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6:11. And so while we're, once we start reading, I wish if you would grab some of the scriptures out of the lesson text and the scriptures as we go through the lesson. Okay. Okay, so I have a question. Would you get into the ring and fight with Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, without training, direction, or knowing your opponent, or with a coach?
No,
you would. Right. What would that get you?
Your feet down.
For sure. Okay. So, right. So without training and direction and a coach, so like they have a coach that is important to them. And they train and they listen well and they practice and they fight to win, right?
Yes.
And so we have a coach that wants the same for us. They want us to win, and we have to train, and we have tasks, and we have homework, and we have to study and read, and that just leads us in the right direction, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and who gives us that? That is like equipment to protect us.
God.
And that is
the power of God.
The power of God. Of God. He gives us equipment to protect us in the armor, spiritual armor. And so that is our lesson, spiritual armor. And that's our lesson, spiritual armor. The topics of our lesson are spiritual armor. And so we can get into this and see what it is that we have to do.
Hey, somebody mute that.
Yeah, somebody needs to mute their phone.
Yes.
What is it doing?
It's cracking and like either turning pages or shuffling paper or something.
That's static.
Yeah, well, okay, we're static then.
Yeah. You say shuffling pages, something.
Yeah. Okay, is it doing it now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's okay. Really bad.
So everybody mute their phone one at a time. And if nobody's talking, then, keep your phone muted so we can find out whose it is.
By the way.
Okay, it's gone now.
Okay, I unmuted. I don't think it's me, but let me know.
Okay,
I'm unmuted as well.
Okay, can you hear it now?
So am I.
Yep.
Can you hear
it's gone now?
Okay, good deal. Okay. So did we hear it the whole time that we were on?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's just start on that. Could someone read Power for the Struggle 6-12?
Okay.
God's strength. You want to read it?
Okay, God's strength. Okay, go ahead then, Mother.
Thank you. God's yes, strength in their own power and wisdom, Christians are no match for Satan. For this reason, Paul encouraged the Ephesians by reminding them of their source of strength. The Almighty God is the infinite source of power for his people. Satan is no match for him or for people empowered by his might. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, I needed you to read the whole 6 all the way from 6:10 through 12.
Okay. God's armor. Christians need spiritual armor. This comes from God himself. In fact, some of the pieces of armor God listed seem to be taken directly from Isaiah's description of the divine warrior, 59, verse 17. God's armor protects his people from the schemes of the devil. God's battle, Ephesians 6 to 12. The Bible teaches about the conflict between God and Satan, Revelations 12, 7 to 9. By attacking God's people and encouraging sin, Satan endeavors to subvert aging sin. I'm sorry. Subvert God's plan. Christians, therefore, are a particular target of the evil. Against believers, Satan throws the full weight of his forces, including all the various ranks of evil angels. It is no wonder that Christians need God's armor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah 59:17, and while you're getting there, I'm going to read this. Armor represents the defense we must take in our spiritual lives. We are fighting a war against Satan, who seeks to destroy us. Therefore, we must take action and put on God's armor. As Christians, it is important for us to understand the severity of this battle.
Okay.
I'm in a battle.
Okay, Isaiah 59:17.
Mm-hmm.
It reads as follows. He put on righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
And so it says the power for the struggle.
Okay,
can you hear me? Okay. So the wiles of the devil, all the things that we wrestle with, the whole armor of God is the protection, and we're able to stand what come against us with that whole armor of protection, and it talks about us being. That Satan is not a match for God or his people who are empowered by God. Christians need a spiritual armor, and it comes from God himself, okay? And that's what it is. God's armor protects his people from the schemes of the devil. So God wants us to follow him and wear this armor that he has, you know, set up for us. It's like like a road map. It's like a road map that our source of strength, God's armor is in the battle. It at different times we will have, we have to be protected. Yes, protect is good for protecting ourselves against the enemy. And most of this, what it's saying is really self-explanatory. God's armor is God's battle. You got to have your armor on and be in the right standing with God for your protection and your guidance. And our strength comes from God. Okay? Can someone read?
You come. Yeah, but hold on, let me ask you this then. So you're saying, I think that what I'm getting out of this is that we definitely have to be strengthened in the Lord, or with the power, with His power. Right? I mean, we need to just stay firm in the Word at all times. If that's what you're saying, is that what you said?
Yes.
I guess. Okay.
Yes, you have to stay firm in the Word at all times. You got to read God's Word in order to know what it is that we're supposed to do.
I know the devil is the enemy to every believer, but the thing is, like now, we definitely had to study and keep our armor on and all that, because that little demonism, they got them little churches of Satan and all that kind of stuff in different cities, and I'm like, you definitely got to have a suit of armor on at all times, because there's some demonic people they got churches of it now that openly, it used to be that was something they had here. They did like privately, now they're doing it openly with a church, an opened out church building. So we definitely have to have that suit of armor on, because they like right, you can see who some of them are. Well, usually, I guess, what is it called? What's that word? I think it's called stratagems, where it's like Satan, he just tricked you. He got some kind of little scheme or something, and these people have these schemes out here. So, go ahead. I'm shut up. But yeah, that stratagems is what we have to look out for.
Well, can I say something? Just as God knows, He knows our desires, He knows our weaknesses. The devil knows all that stuff as well. So if we don't have our armor on and ready, the devil is going to attack. And I mean, it's just simple as that, because just like God knows, He knows as well. And so if we're not ready and we're not equipped in God's word, He's going to attack anybody He can. So, it's important to always, try to keep that spiritual and try to keep that communication and relationship with God, because He will help you, and He will help you escape
the negativeness
from the enemy.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Three of those pieces we're always supposed to have on, and the way I learned to remember all of the armor is from when Janice gave us that picture. When she actually taught us the class, she gave us a picture of a Roman soldier standing there.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it like that, you say to yourself, what do you have on all the time? Well, you have the breastplate on all the time. It covers all your vital area, your chest area. You have your belt of truth on all the time, because that holds everything top and bottom together, right?
Yeah.
And then you always have your shoes on, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then when you think about the fighting part, when the enemy comes, like Keela says, when he shows up, then you take up the shield, you take up the sword, you take up the helmet, because those are your defensive and offensive weapons, right?
Yeah.
And so way, but the key is what Keita was talking about and what you all are talking about, knowing God's word. Remember when Janice taught us about the Logos? She taught us about, it was the Graphe first, right? And that is just say you got a Bible. And then there's the Logos. That means you've understood what the Bible said. And now the Rhema. Remember the Rhema word. That means when a situation pops up, you know which word to use to defeat the devil. You don't just throw your hands up in the air and say, Jesus, get him, Jesus, get him. No, you know what to tell him. Okay. You don't just start flailing your hands all up in the air talking about Jesus, get him. No, you know what to tell him. People in the Bible who cast out demons, they told them demons something. But it was always in Jesus' name. So when Deacon Reed was talking today, we was talking about God's word and digging down, finding it and standing on it and being undefeated. That's what you do. You dig down, find the word of God, and stand on it. And so when the devil starts his wind and rain, it says in his passage, having done all, stand. Okay, you've done it all. You know which words, you know what God said, you know his position, and no matter what Satan is saying or doing, okay, he got you Philippian jailed up, right? But that doesn't matter. You know what God said. You know God good and God good all the time. And you know your mission ain't through. So you stand on that, and then you come out on the other side. Mm-hmm. If you look carefully at the times that Jesus sent his disciples out on the water, get in the boat, go to the other side. One time he was in the boat with them. Let's go to the other side. Both times. The faith word was go to the other side. Now, on the way, the devil showed up, the wind and the waves, right? And they thought their little boat was going to get, a little Galilee boat was going to get toppled. But on one occasion, Jesus was in the boat with them, and they were still afraid. And on the other occasion, Jesus wasn't in the boat with them, but he showed up to rescue them, and they were still afraid. Okay, and then Peter walking on water doing miracles, and he was still afraid. So we have to have our armor on. And clearly, if Peter had held on to the word that Jesus gave him, and it was one word, C-O-M-E, come. First he got permission. If it's you, Lord, let me come to you on the water. And so Jesus gave him a word of power to overcome gravity. Come. And that one word gave him the power to overcome gravity and walk on water like Jesus. But the same wind and waves that wasn't bothering Jesus at all scared Peter to death, and he sank. He took that armor off. And then Satan was like, get him. He got the armor off, and there you go. But then Peter had enough sense, like Crystal say, to go ahead and get his three-word prayer in, Lord, save me. And he got the armor chinked right back up, and he was saved. So, yeah, that armor is – but when you think about the armor, it is, as Janice taught us, every piece of it is the word of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, okay, and then the dagger and – which is the sword of the Lord, okay, sword of the Spirit, and the shield which casts, the devil can throw as many darts in them as he wants to. See, back in the day, they would throw fiery darts into your shield, set it on fire, because it was made out of mostly leather and some wood or some kind of tin on the middle, but it was all thin. But it would catch on fire. So what they would do is cover it in pitch. And sort of make it fireproof. And so when they would shoot their burning arrows into it, it wouldn't do anything. The same thing they did with their siege works, because they used to go up to the wall with wooden siege works, and the people on the inside of the wall would shoot flaming arrows at it, set the siege works on fire, all of the enemy inside of it would burn up. So they started fireproofing that. And so that's what the shield is. It fireproofs us from Satan's fiery darts. And as it says in 2 Corinthians 2 and I think about 5, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices or his schemes. That means God, so when God say we ain't ignorant of his schemes, that means we can go back to Genesis and track Satan all the way through the Bible and learn his schemes. They will always be the same. He never switches up. And guess what? From generation to generation, the same crap he pulled on Adam and Eve works on the next generation. Because to them, it's brand new. He convinces them that you can live apart from God. And once he does that, God's out of the way, then Cain killing Abel. So that's why the armor is so important to a Christian, because Satan will use the death of a loved one to depress you into hanging yourself. Because he's looking at it like this. He wants you out of the world because you might lead somebody to Christ. You might tear down a stronghold that he had built up somewhere. Before you got there, it was just wicked. And now that you're there, his little demons have been run out because they scared to death of you. And so that stronghold, that place where they were just running it, they no longer run it. Like Tony Evans told the story about him working at the bus station, right? The devil had a stronghold set up there. And them guys sleeping and taking turns at night and calling each other and waking them up, and then you go to sleep. Well, Tony Evans came, and the Lord used him to bust up that little stronghold. Tony Evans became the supervisor, and all the rest of them, well, who knows what happened to them. So, yeah, armor is important. Okay, I'm through preaching, teaching, all the rest of that.
That's fabulous. Well, you just took a part of my lesson. I was going to ask them to tell me what the armor was.
So you got to do like Deacon Tate. You got to do like Deacon Tate. You got to say, okay, Pastor, that's enough from you.
Okay. And so do you guys know what the armor, the full armor is? Which part? Pastor just tell you, you remember?
The breastplate.
The word of God.
Yeah. The word of truth. And the word of righteousness. So it's the breastplate and...
The breastplate, the belt. The shod for the feet, and one more feet, and the sword.
Right. So you have the belt.
And then I just read that when Pastor was saying what he's saying about that double sided. So that's that statement about the two edged sword. Now I understand that it could be. I never understood. They always said that it was a two-edged sword.
Double-edged sword, yeah.
But I see now because the one side is if you obey him, he can protect you, and the other side, if you're against him, he can cut you with it. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, yep. So it was the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness for your protection and, you know, for your organs, your heart, your lungs, and the gospel, which is righteousness, and the gospel of peace. That has something to do with your shoes allowing us to be ready to share God's word with others at all times. We should always be prepared. Because you never know when the opportunity may arise to share God's words, okay? And always be ready to go where God sends you. And the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Got to have a helmet on for protection. And yes. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. Yes. So, Did you say something?
No, I was just agreeing with what
so
you were saying.
The helmet of salvation, the helmet, it keeps your mind focused on God. It keeps you focused. And
yes.
The sword of the spirit is the word of God, which is sharp and is true. So can you imagine having your sword and you just swinging it back and forth, but God has your, you have faith that God is going to help you with your battle because you're studying His word and you're doing, you're following His roadmap that He has set out for you. Okay, so those were the seven, and it said like the seven pieces. So I think the other seven, if I'm not mistaken, I looked up, it said the loins and the girt and the loins. Was up the seven? Did that make it seven, Pastor Ross? Okay.
Oh, because I don't know, Pastor, because I thought maybe the seventh piece was yourself. I'm not sure because I kept counting, and I only counted six.
Right.
So
and
I'm
said
thinking that maybe the seventh
the
is the person themselves.
The seventh is what? Prayer?
Prayer.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Prayer. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Oh
yeah,
no! Yeah. I know what it is. It's all that other stuff we talked about and your cell phone.
Prayer was in there too.
Yeah. Prayer is the last one. He says, lastly. Pray about everything and pray for me, pray for one another, because we're
okay.
all going through it.
Yeah, right. That was okay. Pray about you're right.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Could someone read 6:13-17?
Okay. Go ahead, Eric.
No, ma'am.
All right, y'all read it.
Okay.
Purpose for the armor, Ephesians 6:13. God's spiritual armor is essential when the days become difficult. Christians can keep fighting rather than give up. It's God's purpose that His armor will equip believers to stand victorious in His power. Protection by the armor, Ephesians 6:14. Paul here listed the pieces of armor. The belt protected the loins and kept the breastplate straight. The belt of truth may refer both to the integrity of the Christian and to the truth of God's word. The point, unswerving commitment to God's word and God's way is crucial if the believer is to stand against the attacks of Satan. The breastplate provided protection organs such as the heart and the lungs. The breastplate for Christians is righteousness. Righteousness probably refers to the righteousness of God, which is imputed to Christians by virtue of the merits of Christ. Those who stand in the righteousness of Christ are protected in battle. Preparation of the armor, Ephesians 6:15. Christian soldiers in battle have the secure footing of the good news of Christ's death has provided peace with God. Because peace with God comes through what Christ did, they can stand firm. The potential of the armor, Ephesians 6:16. After putting on his body armor, the soldier took up his shield. God has given Christians the shield of faith. Faith Christians can proceed steadfastly in full confidence the Lord will keep his promises. Amen. The power of the armor. The helmet was designed to withstand severe blows to the head. The helmet of salvation is to be received. Salvation is received from God, not gained by human effort. Last of all, Paul spoke of the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Christ used the word of God to counter the temptations of Satan. Christians must use the Bible as they confront the evil one. The sword was both a defensive and offensive weapon. The word of God can protect against doubt, fear, and fatigue. The Bible also enables Christians to advance God's work. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 5. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Loretta. And so, mm-hmm. So the purpose for the armor is like in difficult times in our lives, the trials and tribulations. It's able for you to stand in those kinds of things that we go through, because we all have problems. We all have things that we go through. Nobody is exempt for anything that we go through. And so the purpose for that armor is to be able to withstand what we go through. And then the protection by the armor, it protects all the important parts, the vital organs, the heart, the lungs, and breastplate, all the vital organs, it protects mm-hmm. that. And so it talks about the breastplate. Let's see, the longest, okay, it says that breastplate is your spiritual, let's see what it says. Okay, so the belt protected the loins and kept the breastplate straight. And the loins were, like it says, on the lumbar side of sides between the lower ribs and the pelvis and the lower parts of the girt is the back. And that's the breastplate of righteousness.
Understand.
And so, the wiles of the devil, all the things we wrestle with, the whole armor of God is protection and able to stand what comes against you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up the word shod. Your feet are the gospel of peace, your preparation gospel of peace. So wherever you go, you're going to spread peace. You're going to be able to spread God's word, the gospel of peace, and allow us to be ready to share God's word wherever we go. And the protection part, too, is like it says, unswerving, so not changing or becoming weaker, steady or constant, unswerving, loyal. You're loyal to God's word. You're loyal to what he tells you to do, unwavering. Holding on to God, you know, and change your hands without swerving or turning to a side in your faith and God's promises. So you won't be shaking. Your foundation won't be shaking. You'll be firm. That's your promises, faithful. Yeah. Yeah, so you're firm. You got a firm foundation, a firm footing. And so... that's your righteousness, right? So that's your righteousness, okay? And it says the shield of faith, those fiery darts that Pastor was talking about, protects you from the fiery darts. And the helmet of salvation is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, okay? And it was saying that the loins and the girt. Okay. provide support like a belt or a girdle. So that belt is wrapped around tight, and it holds the breastplate and the breastplate tight and the belt around, you know, just like if you're wearing a girdle, it keeps it tight. Mm-hmm. And it just prepares you for action. It won't move. It'll stay in its place. It won't hamper you from any physical activity. You'll be able to fight the battle you need to fight. Okay? Let me see. Preparation. Okay. And then preparation was what Christ did for us. So what did Christ do for us in preparation for us to trust him?
He died.
Hmm?
His death.
Right, right.
He laid his life down for us.
Right, okay. So he died on the cross for us, for our sins. Okay, and then the power of the armor, that's faith in God, and talks about salvation, which is called deliverance or redemption, saving us from our sins and the consequences, includes separation and death from God. By Christ's death and resurrection, justification, this entail his by this his salvation. Okay, so like I said, he died on the cross for us, and we're delivered from our sins. He saved us from our sins and the consequence that comes with sins. Okay, and they said justification is. Janice always talks about justification, that he forgives us. Okay. Can somebody read 4:1-11? Let me see the Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1-11. Yeah.
Or you want Matthew 4:1-11?
Oh, that's what it is. I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew. That's it. I'm sorry. Matthew 4:1-11. Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
All right.
And then somebody get 2 Corinthians 10:4-5.
Okay.
Okay, Matthew 4:1-11 reads as follows. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Look how we can be tempted what did Jesus and the and the devil, what do Jesus and the devil have in common with this passage of scripture we just read?
They both know the word.
Amen. Yeah, we both know the word of God. And the devil can promise you the world, but at what cost? Materialism, worldly power, and so we just need to just keep focusing on God's plan. Okay, would you read that footnote in under that? Well, I'll read it. It says 1-10. It says the devil's temptations focus on three crucial areas: physical needs and desires, possession and power, and pride. See John 2:15-6 for a similar list. But Jesus did not give in. Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He knows firsthand what we are experiencing, and he is willing and able to help us in our struggles. When you are tempted, turn to him for strength. Amen. That was the footnote from 4:1-10 that we read. Okay, so would someone read 2 Corinthians 4:5? 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, yeah.
Okay. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false argument. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so it says in the footnotes, it says, we, like Paul, are merely weak humans, but we don't need to use human plans and methods to win our battles. God's mighty weapons are available to us as we fight against the devil's strongholds. The Christian must choose whose methods to use, God's or the world. And Paul assures us that God's mighty weapons, prayer, faith, hope, love, God's word, the Holy Spirit, are powerful and effective. Okay, these weapons can break down the proud human arguments against God and the walls that Satan builds to keep people from finding God. And when dealing with people's proud arguments that keep them from a relationship with Christ, we may be tempted to use our own methods, but nothing can break down these barriers like God's weapons. Amen.
Amen.
And so using the word of God and his way of doing things like fighting, arguing, God will fight our battles. You know, we get tempted sometimes to argue with people about God's word or have an argument, but we have to let God fight our battles, because our own way of doing things, our own methods, sometimes make the situations worse. So we have to let God fight our battles. Okay, we get tempted sometimes to feel like we want to tell somebody off, or some people don't want to hear God's word. You know, we could tell them the best way that we can. If they accept it, you know, never know what they'll hear. That might pull them in, even though they might be going against it. You never know what they might hear. Okay, so let God fight all of our battles. Okay, and that was the power of armor.
I want to ask a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If it's okay. We just read a passage about Jesus in the wilderness fighting with the devil. What three weapons did Jesus use to defend against the devil, and in what order?
I know the word of God.
Right. The sword of the Spirit.
Okay, what did the devil do first?
He tempted him.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Not addiction.
If you are the son of man, a God, he tempted him to do something. I got to go back. Let me see.
Turn the stones into bread or something, wasn't it?
Right. He spoke to his soul. So what did Jesus have on to protect him from those words?
It's armor.
Oh, what peace. Bruce, let me see. If you...
Yeah.
See, those words were shot. Those words were spoken to his what? His
head. And the helmet of salvation.
The helmet of salvation. And after he protected his head from that word, what did he do then?
He hit him with the word.
Which piece is that?
Oh, the righteousness.
The sword.
The sword.
Oh, the sword. Okay.
And how did he protect himself the second time from the words of the devil?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I thought it was the sword of the Spirit every time.
Well, that was the end result. That's the last blow he took. But before that, how did he defend himself from the devil's onslaught?
The word of God.
Okay, somebody said it. Somebody said it.
The belt of that righteousness. Oh, no, I'm wrong.
Shield. The shield.
Oh, the shield, okay.
So you fight with the helmet, the shield, and the sword.
And the sword.
And
yeah.
Jesus
okay.
used all three in his battle with the devil. When he went out there, he had his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When he went out there, he had his breastplate on. When he went out there, he already had the belt. Then the devil showed up, and that's when he had to take up.
Okay. So in essence, we wearing three at all times until we run into some.
And then you take up the other three because the battle is
Okay. Did y'all get that?
What you say?
Nothing.
Did y'all get that? What the Lord wants He wants you to be
helmet,
able to.
Helmet, shield, and sword. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Those are your weapons of warfare. Those are your weapons that you fight back with.
Okay.
Your defensive and offensive weapons. You can defend with the shield. You can defend with the helmet. But you attack with the sword. And the sword was really a dagger.
It will also defend you as well.
It was for in close fighting.
Yeah. But let me see, what was it? That sword was a both defensive and offensive weapon. It could protect against doubt, fear, and fatigue. And the Bible also enables Christians to advance God's word. So the other side of the coin, other than the protection from those other things, the Bible also, the sword, we read it so that we can advance God's word. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yep. Right. Swinging war, sharp, deadly weapon can go forth without fear, never tiring, to advance God's word. Okay. So which one of the pieces of armor would you choose out of all the pieces? that you think would be most important that you would use?
The word of God?
Oh, I thought they worked together.
The helmet.
No, I need the sword. I need that word. That defensive and offensive weapon.
But Pastor just said the same thing about that shield, too. Defensive and offensive weapon.
Okay.
I'm liking the Bible as the one.
Yeah. Because I need something to get you off me real quick. And that's that word.
Right. I choose the word of God too.
Yep.
That's your direction. And that's your coach. And that's what you live by every day, you know, to get you where you're going through the shadow of death. You know, all your walk of life is in the word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's see.
Isn't that all the pieces are made of the word of God?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, but if you had to choose one, if you had to grab one piece of that armor, which one would it be?
Wow, I don't want to choose one. I want to use them all together.
Well, God's word helps you to use them all. It's all wrapped up in God's word. The whole shebang is wrapped up in God's word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see.
That goes back to what Loretta was saying then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, if you notice, if you run into any type of battle and you come with God's word, that person going to get up off you. They really are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I can buy that.
Yeah. You know, I just had experience the other day where I got into it with one of my neighbors. And I told him, I said, listen, don't come here. I said, because I put God first and I treat people the way I want to be treated. When we got through with that argument, that young lady came back to my door with a flower and a gift card. Because she knew she was wrong, and I used God's word on her.
Amen.
Yeah, she came back with a flower and a gift card because she knew she was wrong, and she knew I was right.
Let me investigate that gift card for you.
I ain't even used it because it had a baby on it, so I was just saving it for my daughter since she's pregnant. I didn't
That's
even try
it. I need to investigate that gift card to see if
but
it's any good.
It just goes to show you, you know, when you use God's word and you're working against a demon, they get up off you real quick.
Okay, I can buy that.
Yeah, that's it. That's the piece I would
use. evidently, that lady must know something about the Bible.
Yeah. She does.
You have got to her heart like you did. She must know about it. Just didn't anticipate the rebuttal.
And she knows that she's watched my actions since I've been here. I mind my own business and work with my own hands.
Okay.
You know, I don't get out there and get in what you're doing and how you're doing it. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to pray for you. Not to tear you down, but that's what happened. We had words, and I never got derogatory. And when it was all said and done, that woman came, knocked back on my door, and brought me a gift card and some flowers. So I knew that I handled it right.
Did the right way.
Yep.
And
a lot of times it's a test. That's a test from God, which I did bad and failed mine the other day when I was in the bed. I was in the bed, and I had got in a good position. I hadn't had no pain medicine. And the young lady came in to help my neighbor. So I had got in a good position without falling out this little bit of bed. And the only thing I asked her was to hand me the thing to lift myself up in the car light. And she told me, for real, I've been doing this for 12 years. You mean to tell me you couldn't grab that? And I'm like, okay, Lord, I know it's the right, what's the right way, but I'm going to tell her the wrong way. So I had to pray. And repent, because I'm the patient. You supposed to help me. I know the remote was in back of me, but had I turned around again, I think I would have fell out the bed. And I'm already in pain and hadn't received any pain medicine in like 3 days. You know, so, but it'd be a test. And God knows if we keep him first, and he'll help us, and he'll fight the battles. But like I said, I got bad myself because I was in pain. Yeah, but you handled it right. I didn't pass that test, but I'm going to get it right the next test, I guess.
Hey, listen, I'm telling y'all, because I finally passed. I'm telling you, it depends on, you know, how you catch me. God know he's not through with me either. It depends on how you catch me. But she caught me, and I knew I was right, but I didn't want to disrespect her just because I knew I was right. So the way I talked to her made her see that she was wrong, and she came back with an apology and a flower and a gift card. So
the word we have for that is in the book of Romans. So if we were going to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and use it in that instance, it would be Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to the end. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the word, the rhema word, for a situation like that. And when we become familiar with the Bible, the whole Bible, especially the New Testament, even and the Old Testament, then when things happen, a word will pop up. And that is the word of defense that you have. That is the word this is a fight back word right here, but the fight back is you don't do anything. God does it.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I tell y'all, it really felt good because I knew I was being tested. It felt good to finally pass the test, to not be Loretta, but to be the Christian God created me to be. You know, I felt good.
When I get to church Sunday, I'm going to bring you a gold star.
All right, baby. I'm waiting on my star now.
I'm talking to y'all. They got a little loud. But when my wife talked to her sensibly, and she understood what my wife was saying, then she broke down and she found out that she was wrong. But it did get a little heated, though. But my wife was cool and calm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she came a long way. She been trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you're going to go to church every Sunday, if you're going to sit in these Bible classes and you can't be changed, something wrong with that physical.
Right, right.
You have to have spiritual growth after being in there many years as I have. I'm trying. Trust me. I'm trying so hard for God to humble me And so God can use me and other people can see where I came from and see where I am today. It's a blessing to see your own growth. It's an even more blessing to feel that growth because it just makes me want to continue to do God's will instead of mine.
I understand that, woman.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just never know what people are going through. You don't, we don't know why she, you know, was arguing with you. We never know what people are going through. So you have to be able to be kind to people and tell them about the word of God, whatever opportunity that you get. You know, she might have needed that at that moment to bring her back, you know. Never know what
you know,
she was
I don't,
going.
Like I said, I don't know, you know, what the problem was, but, you know, I knew that I wasn't going to let it be a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to handle it because I live here and I see my neighbors more than I see my own family. So we can't have any discrepancy.
Right.
You know.
Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay, so would someone read 18 through 24, that last three sections, the four sections?
At the prayer for one another?
Yes, ma'am. It's 18 through 24, yeah, that whole passage.
Okay, bear with me. I'm going to do the best I can. Prayer for one another, Ephesians 6:18. Paul appealed to the Ephesians to pray for one another. Christians should pray that all believers will be able to stand in the struggle. Without prayer, they will most likely stumble. Prayer for Paul, Ephesians 6:19 and 20. After Paul instructed the Ephesians to pray for one another, he asked them also to pray for him. He requested prayer that he would be able to speak boldly when he was given the occasion to declare for commitment to Christ. Paul's prayer that he would be that he would have a that he would have a that he would be he would have a golden opportunity to make the gospel known to Caesar.
Okay.
It says, Paul, or do you want me to continue or let somebody else?
Yeah, I'll continue for you, Keela. I know you.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Okay. It says, Paul used a striking picture to describe his circumstances. As a prisoner, he was chained. At the same time, he was an ambassador of Christ sent on God's official business. And it says, prospect of Tychicus. As Paul concluded this letter, his letter, he commended to the Ephesians Tychicus, the man who was bearing the epistle to them. Tychicus would be able to share with them more details of Paul's condition. Peace to the Ephesians, 6:23-24. In his final words, Paul blessed the Ephesians by calling for God's peace, love, and grace to be with them. Okay. And so since somebody looked up 1 Peter 5:6-11. And so where it says prayer for the struggle, we have to Paul appeal to everyone to pray for one another, and we should pray for one another because we should want everyone to know God and the power that he holds. We don't want, you know, anyone to stumble. You know, we should always pray for one another. We go
I have it.
Okay, go ahead.
So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will replace you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen.
Amen. Mother Irma, could you read those footnotes in 5-6?
Footnote 5-6.
Yes,
we often worry about our position and status, hoping to get proper recognition for what we do. But Peter advises us to remember that God's recognition counts more than human praise. God is able and willing to bless us according to his timing. Humbly obey God regardless of present circumstances, and in his good time, either in this life or in the next, he will honor you. Amen.
He said, in this life or the next. That's something to look forward to. So we got to make sure we're right in this life so we can, you know, he might get us good in the next life, you know.
Amen.
Something, so I thought that was cool. What about read 5, 8, 9, loins attack the sick, a lion.
You said chapter 5?
Yeah, the footnotes on 5, 8, 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. Footnote 5. The when 8 and 9? Loins attack sick, young, or straggling animals. They choose victims who are alone or not alert. Peter warns us to watch out for Satan when we are suffering or being persecuted. If you are being alone, weak, helpless, and cut off from other believers, or if you are so focused on your troubles that you forget to watch for danger, those are the times when you are especially vulnerable to Satan's attack. During times of suffering, seek other Christians for support. Keep your eyes on Christ and resist the devil. Then, says James, he will flee from you. Amen. James 4 and 7.
Mm-hmm. He will flee from you. When we're down and out sometimes, you know, we can, you know, lose faith or something like that. But, you know, we don't want you to lose faith. And so we got to use each other for prayer, use each other to be supportive of. And so, like I said, praying for one another, and we should want everybody to know God and all the power that he holds, you know, and we just have to keep our faith, and we need each other in order to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't want anyone to stumble. And so, and then so Paul, it says prayer for Paul. It says Paul was being tested, and he was on a mission for God, okay? And he requested prayer that he would be able to speak boldly when he was given the occasion to declare his commitment to Christ. So you never know what situation that you're in that you might need prayer. You never know when you will need prayer, because no one is exempt from trouble and trials and tribulation. Everybody in this world get a turn. You know, we get a turn. And so we should pray for others and ourselves. Even, you know, he's in prison, And we have people that we know that are in prison, you know. And those that are they're being tested on one way or another, okay? Might be on a mission from God. And so while they're there, we should be praying for them and praying for one another. And Tychicus.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to ask a question about Tychicus myself.
Tychicus. And so Tychicus was a minister, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He served Jesus in advancing the cause of Christ. And,
okay.
He was reliable, trustworthy, and committed to the gospel. He was a believer.
Thank you, Sister Clyburn. That was my question I was going to ask. I've always heard about Tychicus, but who actually was he? But so he was a believer in Jesus, and he was a follower of Jesus at some point?
Right. He was. He served Jesus in advancing the cause of Christ. And
okay.
His causes, and he was a reliable, trustworthy, and committed to the gospel. He was a believer.
Okay. That was my question. I really said I got a question about Tychicus. And that was, you answered it. That was the question I wanted to ask.
Cool. Yeah.
I knew he worked with Paul at some point, but I remember Paul bringing him up at some point about he would leave him. But okay, now I understand who he was. Because you don't hear too much about him too many other places. I don't know any other places, actually.
I know. We never talked about it. It did have let me see. It had where you could read about them more. I didn't write it down, though. So, yes, we should pray for one another. That's our guide. You know, the armor is our guide to follow God's word and pray.
Oh, man. You said imitated Jesus.
Prayer really helps, you know. Prayer really helps. And we could say, you know, like Deacon Tate give us those slips every Sunday for us with people's names on it for us to pray for them. And,
right.
And people ask you to pray for them. And then you think about, okay, do we really, really pray? Do we really get on our knees and pray for these people when they ask us to pray for them? You know, I think we should make it a point to do that. I was just asking myself the other day, I said, you know, prayer really does help. And so when people ask you to pray for them, don't forget about it. Pray for them at that moment so that you won't forget.
Mm-hmm. So I have to do it.
Conscious
that's
of
exactly
praying.
That's how I have to do it. Pray at that moment or I will forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I say we don't want people to stumble. We want everybody to know about God, you know, okay?
Sure.
We don't want people to stumble. Yeah. Okay. So we could go to, anybody have any more questions or concerns before we go to the question? Tychicus was, you know, just like us, you know, a believer. People that help one another or help the deacons or help the pastor, spread the word, Bible study teachers, you know, believers.
But now I know who Tychicus.
Symbol of faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you ready to go to the questions?
Man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so let me see. Wait a minute. Did someone have Romans 8, 26 and 27? I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, read, please.
And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Amen.
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 The 8:26 and 27. It was some good footnotes there for 8:26 and 27. Could you read those?
I'm on the computer.
Okay, I'll read it. It says, as a believer, you are not left to your own resource to cope with problems. Even when you don't know the right words to pray, the Holy Spirit prays with you for you, prays with you and for you, and God answers. With God helping you pray, you don't need to be afraid to come before him. Ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for you in harmony with God's own will. Then, when you bring your request to God, trust that he will always do what is best. Okay? In God's name, in God, it's the Lord's will. They say it's the Lord's will. Amen? Do anybody have 2 Corinthians 10:1-5? Did we read that already?
Yeah, I thought we read that.
Okay, God fight. I think we did, because it talked about God fighting our battles. You can't fight. You can't fight like fight with the world. Let God fight your battles. Okay, we can read it again. Let me see. I think we read it. Maybe we didn't. 2 Corinthians 10:1-5.
Okay, I have it. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Amen.
Okay, yeah, we did read that, but that's okay. Still good, yeah. So God will fight our battles. Can't fight like the world. Okay? Okay, so question number one. What is the source of strength for Christians as they face spiritual conflict?
I found it in the first paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And it says, in their own power and wisdom, Christians are no match for Satan. For this reason, Paul encourages the Ephesians by reminding them of their source of strength. The Almighty God is the infinite source of power for his people. Satan is no match for him or for people empowered by his might. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Irma. Number two, from where did Paul derive his picture of the Christian's armor?
Okay, that's in the second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
It says that this comes from God himself. In fact, some of the pieces of armor, Paul listed them to be taken directly from Isaiah's descriptive divine warrior. God's armor protects his people from the schemes of the devil. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Yep. Good. Thank you. And number three, how are the struggles of individuals Christians related to the conflict between God and Satan?
Okay, I found that on page 48 in the third paragraph where it says, the Bible teaches about the conflict between God and Satan. I think that means compare Revelations chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. By attacking God's people and encouraging sin, Satan endeavors to subvert God's plan. Christians, therefore, are a particular target of the devil.
That's why we have to stay worded up, because we don't, you know, those are the fiery dots that they try to send our way. Okay. Number four, what is the ultimate purpose for the Christian armor?
I have, wait a minute, is it up yet? I have, it is God's purpose that's the last sentence. It is God's purpose that his armor will equip believers to stand victorious in his power. Or did you guys start at the beginning?
No, that's what I had.
Okay, that's good. Yep, Christians can keep fighting rather, yep.
I mean, that's just the answer with none of those additives.
I had the whole thing.
Okay, thank you.
So that's the purpose of the armor. You know, if we feel like we want to give up, we don't. We just keep fighting.
Okay. Yeah, that's
fighting.
What I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it says his armor will equip believers to stand victorious in his power, having faith and standing still. Okay. Number five says, why is the belt of truth essential for spiritual victory?
It
okay.
Says,
go ahead.
I had it, protection by the armor is under that. It says,
yeah.
The belt protected the loins and kept the breastplate straight. The belt
right.
of truth refers both to the integrity of the Christian and to the truth of God's word. The
all
point.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I had it all the way down to the attacks on Satan, though.
All right, go ahead.
It says, the point, unswerving commitment to God's word and God's way is crucial if the believer is to stand against the attacks of Satan.
Well.
You got to go straight. You can't go to the left or the right. Just got to be straight with God's word and keep the faith.
Yeah.
Got to keep the faith. Because God knows our heart. He really knows our heart. So he knows if we believe or not.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, number six. So, yeah, it says that belt is essential. Yeah, it holds it in place. So we
mm-hmm.
got to stay in place. How does the righteousness of Christ serve as a breastplate for the Christian soldier? How does the righteousness of Christ serve as a breastplate for the Christian soldier?
I have the breastplate provided protection for organs such as the heart and the lungs. The breastplate for the Christian is righteousness. Righteousness probably refers to the righteousness of God, which is imputed to Christians by virtue of the merits of Christ. Those who stand in the righteousness of Christ are protected in the battle.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So I believe those merits refer to, like, again, God dying on the cross for us, and we know, and we read his word, and we know, and just being in right standing with God. Okay. Right standing, Christ, and just knowing who God is.
Seven.
Number seven. How does the Christian soldier maintain secure footing?
I have the next paragraph. Christian soldiers in battle have the secure footing of the good news that Christ's death has provided peace with God. Because peace with God comes through what Christ did, they can stand firmly.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. I had wrote down for merit. It said merit of Christ, Christ's sinless life and perfect atonement. Merits which are mighty. Which are mighty to save through Christ, suffering that we find joy when the eternal consequences of the law dictate. Consequences of the law dictate preparation otherwise. Keeping sacred covenant, follow nature and find grace through making and keeping sacred covenant. So, yeah. Keeping God's covenant. Okay. Merit of Christ. Okay. Number, number. That was that one that was said, that talked about the merit. We're at number eight, right? How does faith enable Christians to advance the cause of Christ in the face of opposition?
Go ahead. No, ma'am.
I have the potential of the armor. After putting on his body armor, the soldier took up his shield. God has given Christians the shield of faith. By faith, Christians can proceed steadfastly in full confidence the Lord will keep his promises.
Amen.
Keep his promise. Yep, God's promises. And we can stay steadfast and confident. Keep the confidence.
Right.
With the shield of faith. Okay?
Right.
Shield of faith and believing. Okay, number nine. How is the word of God both a defensive and offensive weapon?
Oh, the sword with a defensive and offensive weapon, the word of God can protect against doubt, fear, and fatigue. The Bible also enables Christians to advance God's work.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We can just keep going. We can, with God's word, and just, if you could imagine, swinging that sword, that sharp sword, protecting yourself. And using God's word and him helping you through that battle and you winning that battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Word of God, both a defensive and offensive weapon. Yeah. And then you can tell somebody about God, advancing God's work. Number 10. How did Paul demonstrate the necessity of mutual prayer?
After Paul instructed the Ephesians to pray for one another, he asked them also to pray for him. That's when they just literally looking out for each other. But he requested prayer that he would be able to speak boldly when he was given the occasion to. He said, nope, I wouldn't have put the rest of that with you, climbing to the cover. Nope. So I'm going to go with where I stopped at, the prayer for him. because he wanted them to pray for everybody, but also he wanted them to pray for him, so he needed them as much as they needed to. So that, I figured that was mutual.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it could be both of them. I did select the first one. So he appealed to the Ephesians to pray for one another. Christians should pray that all believers will be able to stand in the struggle. Without prayer, they will most likely stumble. So we don't want anybody to stumble. So he appealed to them to pray
earlier.
For one
But no, I went out to the other one, though.
Yeah, but they go together, still saying that he instructed the Ephesians to pray for one another and then also pray for him.
Man, I did both.
Okay, you never know when you're gonna need to. Yeah, we all have trouble. We all go through trials and tribulations, and you never know when somebody's gonna have to pray for you. So we should make sure that we pray for others. We don't want anyone to stumble. Okay. One of the practical points it says. On page 50, it says, apart from God's help, we are no match for Satan. 6:10-11, apart from God's help, we are no match for Satan. We got to have God or else Satan will come in and tear everything up. Number 3, it says, we can resist Satan's temptations only if we are solidly grounded in the truth and are living out that truth in our lives. If we just go out and decide that we want to keep sinning, and not resisting, temptation to do wrong, and we just have to stay on that solid foundation and be grounded in the truth of God's word. Okay, we have to do what the word say. We have to do what this word say and have righteousness and. Just kind of walk straight the best we can. No one is perfect, but when that a Holy Spirit tells you, don't say that, don't do that, don't go there, don't make that turn. He speaks to you clearly. He speaks to you clearly, give you a little nod, a little jerk, and you really do feel that Holy Spirit telling you not to do, okay? But we can go ahead and be hard-headed and do, and not do what we're supposed to do. So just continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. Number 7 says, real peace is a blessing that comes only from God. That's real peace. Nothing else. This world can't give it to us. Nothing in this world can give us the peace that God can give us. Okay? And like I said, it's a blessing. It's a blessing that comes only from God. Our happiness, everything that we do, it all comes from God. He owns it all. It all comes from him. Okay. And that's some good peace. happiness. Yep. From God. Okay. That's it for our lesson. Someone want to read the golden text. Do anybody have any more questions or concerns?
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. But before we get to the golden text, I'd like to ask, what was not included in the armor? When you picture a soldier standing there with the helmet, with the breastplate, with the belt, with his feet shod with the sandals, and he's got his sword, he got his shield, and he's got all of the armor on. What's missing?
The little thing that covers his shin bones.
What's not covered?
His leg and his arm.
Yeah.
Say what?
Your leg. Your face.
Well,
your
those can be protected with the sword and the shield.
Mhm.
But what did God provide no protection for?
His eyes.
So The helmets they wore were called Corinthian helmets, the same ones that the Greeks wore at Thermopylae when they fought against Xerxes. That was a big bronze helmet, kind of heavy, you know, but they would be, those eyes would be protected because they had the little eyelids. What he didn't provide them was any protection for their backside. In other words, God gave them armor to face the devil head on, not with their backs to him. He gave us armor to go forward, not backwards.
Wow.
Now, the next question.
Good question.
There was a man in the book of Acts who had a number of sons. And these sons, they went up against spiritual wickedness without the armor. Who are those sons?
The sons of Sceva.
There you go. Yeah. Seven sons of Sceva. They said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus," who Paul preached. And the demon's like, you don't have on any armor. You're totally unprotected. Lord, do we have permission to, and the next thing you know is a wrap. So that's a good example. Paul and them were wrapped in the armor of God, and being thrown in jail didn't mean anything. Okay, being attacked, or Paul was stoned and left for dead, didn't mean anything. Got up, went right back into the city. So, yeah, God has given us armor, not armor to turn our back and run, because he didn't leave no protection for that. So he intends for us to go forward. I think there's a passage of scripture, I love it, from the King James Version. It says, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force." And so that means the kingdom of heaven forcefully advances. And so God didn't give us nothing to protect the back. And we want to make sure we're worded up. Because, look, if them demons knew that those folks who didn't have the word of God, well, number one, they didn't see the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, and they can see straight through human flesh and see spirit. Because when Jesus was here, Jesus never had that body he was in heaven. So them demons didn't know what that looked like. But then them demons said, "We know you, Jesus, who you are, Son of the Most High God." So they could look right straight through that flesh and see the one who kicked them out of heaven. And so they knew that them seven sons of Sceva didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They knew they didn't have any armor, and they got tore up physically. And I know their little spirits was just well, they probably got super saved. They probably went found Paul and said, "Man, we need Jesus for real, because we done got tore up." Okay? So, but the battle is real. Now, if the devil have you fighting people, he's playing you like a joke. Because it's him, not the people. Okay? Even though God will punish the people Satan used, just like he punished the snake that Satan used, but it's not the people, it's the devil. So don't get caught up. Don't let the devil trick you into believing these people are intentionally being evil to you. No, that's him working through them, or one of his demons most likely. Working through them, and you need to be armored up all the time, because, like, if you watch those movies that I watched, them Bible movies, when those people who were shooting the flaming arrows, they wouldn't say, "Hey, we getting ready to shoot flaming arrows." No, they would just pop up out of nowhere, and so you had to be able to grab your shield real quick. And you don't grab your sword for a flaming arrow. That helmet might help you out a little bit, but you really need that shield. That's going to quench them, because it's fireproof. Okay, before we get out, don't forget to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton. Keep Keela and Darius in your prayers. and all the mothers on the move. And as Paul has just instructed us in this lesson, pray for one another. Why? Because we are all going through it. The devil is after us all, and we are all going through it, and we all need to pray for each.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Now you can do the golden text thing.
Okay, yes. So, Pastor O, which piece of armor would you grab?
If I just had to have one.
If you had to grab one. Mm-hmm.
If they say you can only have one, I'd have to take the belt of truth because it holds everything together.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it holds the top and the bottom together. It holds the breastplate, and it holds that little skirt or whatever you call that thing they wore. And but it held it. It held it. Kept everything straight. And so I would, if I had to just pick one, I want them all, but if I had to just pick one, it would be that, because that one got everything in it you need.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the belt is not holding up the helmet.
Well, see, the helmet is something that you take up. And see, if you got the helmet on and then your chest is left open, you see, with the belt comes the breastplate.
Oh, wow.
See, those you have on, all, unless you walk around without no clothes on, just a belt, you're going to have on something on the top, you're going to have something on the bottom, and you're going to have some shoes on. Now, when the fight start, okay, when the fight start, then the other stuff you take up as you need it, and you take up the one you need. If the person coming at you with a you just take up the one you need. You know, you quench the darts with the shield, not the sword. You protect. A lot of those fights, when they would have those fights, if you pay attention, at the beginning of the fight, they always start with their boasts and their chants. And then when they actually going into battle, they just make as much noise as they possibly can, because that noise discombobulates your enemy. And so those battles that you see, even though there were no weapons of guns and knives and cannons and all of those things, they were super loud. And what really, like, you stab somebody, they didn't instantly die. They had to bleed out. And so they're on the ground screaming out in agony. Or especially in those civil wars where they had the little shot balls that they would shoot you in the arm with that thing, tear your hand off. Now you're on the battlefield with your hand tore off screaming at the top of your lungs. And then if that wasn't bad enough, they didn't have the kind of anesthetics that we, or antibiotics and things that we do, so they would cut your leg off. And you wouldn't sleep. And so it was loud. And so, yeah, but if I had to have one, it would be the belt of truth, because the belt of truth, it holds everything together. But actually, you need them all, unless you're going to do like Pootie Tang and beat the devil with the belt.
Well, you said that the sons of Skeevas, they didn't have any armor, and they used the word of God. And that's what Loretta had chose, the word of God, and I chose the word of God, too, with the sword. So,
yeah, the sword, which is the word of God. But if the devil is shooting fiery darts at you, unless you like Bruce Lee, you know, you're not going to be able to knock all them darts out the way with your sword. So what you're going to need you need your shield. But you know, you could try to get away with one, but the devil going to get you somewhere, because you got to have them all. You got to have them all.
Basically, yeah.
All of them is the Rhema word of God. Well, actually, the sandals, the preparation of peace, right? the right, and then the breastplate of righteousness, and then the belt of truth. Okay, those are just standard. They're there all the time, but you know, you need them all because they could be considered the graphe, or even the logos. Okay, but the only rhema you have is the sword, the shield, and the helmet. Unless you're just going to beat Satan with your shoes, pull your shoe off, and just beat the crap out of him. Other than that, that's not what that's for, though. It's for spreading the gospel. It's the spread of the gospel of peace. It's the reconciliation of God back to man, back to God. So it's using the right one at the right time, and then you can be successful in your fight against the devil.
Amen.
It all depends on what he's doing, determine what you're going to do. Like Jesus did, he showed us how to do it. When the devil came at the attack with the head, he had his helmet on. When the devil needed to get stabbed, he pulled the sword, or he pulled the word of God out and stabbed him. If he needed to defend against, like, if you're the Son of God, turn these. He was literally saying, since you're the Son of God, turn these bricks into stone. That's an attack on the head. Okay, that's shooting right at the head. But then that's a fiery dart. You know, so you need that to quench that. But you need them all. They're all, because if you watch those battles, 1 minute you're using the shield, then you're using the sword. The helmet, you know, definitely to protect your head against them blows from the sword of the enemy. That means from the word of the enemy. What did Adam and Eve not have on when the devil showed up? What part of their armor was missing?
The helmet?
They
ain't
had
no helmet on.
They ain't had no helmet on. No, they just listened. That he took a shot at that head, and they went for it.
Right.
You know, they wasn't trying to fight with him, so the sword wasn't needed. It wasn't that kind of battle. And then it was a battle of the mind. It was, have God not said? So there was, you know, he wasn't shooting no fiery darts at him.
Right.
Okay, it wasn't that kind of attack. It was a mind attack. What did God say? So we have to determine how is he attacking us before we know how to defend against it. But three things you're supposed to have all the time. You have that breastplate on, you have that belt on, and you have them sandals on all the time. But you could be witnessing to somebody with the gospel, spreading the gospel of peace, trying to reconcile, doing the Romans thing, making peace between God and man, Romans 5, right?
19.
Okay. But then the devil show up like he did on Paul. Paul trying to lead, I think, Sergius Paulus to salvation, but Elymas showed up and started his stuff. And now Paul had to pull out some weapons and go against Elymas, caused him to be blind. But you read those things and you see the fight and you see which weapon was used. And so you have to know which weapon to use. Do I need the sword? Do I need the shield? Or will the helmet take care of this?
Brief example of a fiery dart, something we could see.
A fiery dart is when Satan comes up to you and says, has the Lord said that you can't eat from any of these trees? No, he just said this tree, and if we do, we'll die. Thou shalt not surely die. That's the fiery dart.
Okay.
Whenever the devil attacks you to break you down, to discourage you, to depress you, to cause you to be anxious by what he's saying, that's a fiery dart.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And if you say the word back to him.
The rest of them knew that. I didn't know. so I'm asking.
And somebody said, if you say that to him.
Well, so the fiery dart comes your way, and he says, you will not surely die. And you repeat back what the Lord said. Are you using your sword on him at that point?
If you repeat it back, believing it. See, Eve was asked a question. Can you eat of any of the trees? Has the Lord said that you cannot eat from any of the trees in the garden? And she said, no. But you can, no, just this tree. And if we eat from it, we'll die. Then Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. That's an attack where you need to put up the sword. You need to put up the shield. And then if they was going to use the sword, they would have come back and said, you're a lie. The Lord said, if we eat from this tree, we're going to die. Because if the sword of the Lord is the word of God,
okay,
then you attack back with the words. They didn't attack back.
Okay.
They just went with it.
Okay.
They just should have quenched that fiery dart. He'll shoot lies at you. You're never going to be anything. This is as good as it gets for you. You can't do that. They won't hire you. You're not going to make it. Who do you think you are? Those are all fiery darts.
Okay.
You're trying to lose weight. You can't lose weight. This is who you are. Those are all fiery darts, and you put the shield up for that. You don't slice at those kinds of things with a sword.
Okay.
Oh, see, I'm trying to use my sword for everything. Okay, I got it.
Right. the sword, like, for instance, if somebody is shooting at you and you got a bulletproof shield, what you going to put up, the sword or the shield?
Shield.
And when they run out of bullets, what you going to do, run over there and beat them up with the shield or stab them with the sword?
Stab them.
So one is defensive, and one is what? Offensive.
Offensive.
You defend it against the bullets, right? And now you're going on the offense. You're stabbing people. Okay, so one is a defense, and one is offense. So you have to know which one to use. You block all the lies the devil's trying to tell you. When God has said this, that's why it's important to know what God said, because when God has said this, that's when you know the devil is lying. But if you don't know what God said, then you're not going to know when Satan is lying. And if you don't hold on and stand on what God said, like Paul said, having done all, stand. If you don't stand on what God said, then you're still going to fall, even though you know what God said. And you can say back like Adam and Eve, this is what God said. But if you ain't going to stand on it, then here he come back with another slice and you out.
Okay.
Now you're running around hiding behind trees with fig leaves on. So you have to know which one, when Satan attacks, you need to know which one. What is he doing? Is he trying to kill me? You know, he asked Jesus to jump off the temple. Just jump off. Bible says the Lord will catch you before you hit the ground. Your feet won't even touch the stone. Well, Jesus is like, well, the Bible also say you don't put God to the test.
You did.
See? So that's the sword right there. But he blocked it with the shield. But he fought back three times with the sword. Third time, the devil couldn't take no more. He had to go away. And notice this. Jesus didn't use anything but the word of God. Now, how many times have we read that passage And how many of us know where is it located in the Bible where Jesus quoted to the devil? What one book of the Bible did he quote from?
In the Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy, all three times. So that's you know, just get familiar with God's word. Keep reading it. Don't worry about memorizing it. The Holy Spirit will do that for you. But be intentional in your studies and be serious and not just trying to please God by studying, but try to receive what God is trying to give you, the knowledge about him and everything else. So do that, and you'll be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, don't forget to pray for the families in Kansas City. There was a shooting today at the parade.
Yeah.
Somebody had to shoot it up. The devil's like, no, we can't have this. And so somebody decided they had to, or either two people there got into a beef and started shooting at each other and hit 15 innocent people, killed one so far. So pray for them.
Where was that? Kansas City.
Yeah, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and somebody went to the celebration and decided to shoot it up.
Wow.
Waited to the end, though.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go to the Golden Text Illuminated. Someone want to read that, the Golden Text Illuminated?
I will. Okay.
Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, chapter 11, verse. Whether we like it or not, every Christian is involved in spiritual warfare. As believers, we are not called to a life of passivity. We do not wear armor for a pleasant stroll in the park. The Golden Text reminds us that our chief enemy in our spiritual warfare is the devil, Satan himself. As the following verse tells us, we are wrestling against powerful and spiritual foes. Paul told Timothy he had kept the faith through his fight, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, and Ephesians 6 chapter 16 verse says we need the shield of faith to stand against Satan's attacks. Faith is the key. Satan wants to destroy our faith, our walk with God. The Lord has ordained that he will keep his people safe. John 6, chapter 39, verse 17, chapter of John, verses 2 to 11. Philippians first chapter and sixth verse. We have nothing to fear. We will preserve his people, but it is nevertheless true that he has ordained that believers make us of the means of warfare that he provides. The battle we are in is so serious that we must not neglect any of the provisions the Lord supplies. We must utilize the whole armor, and we must not depend on the world's weapons. 2 Corinthians verses 10, 3 to 4. It is the armor of God that we need. One reason we need all the resources God provides is that our enemy is crafty. We can see his craftiness in Eden, where he was successful in bringing about man's fall, and even in his failed efforts to tempt our sinless Lord. Yes, we are engaged in spiritual warfare, and his great grace, God has provided all we need to defeat our enemy. Amen. Amen. Everybody sleep?
Thank you. Thank you, Mother Irma. Thank you so much. That's this class. We already had our announcements.
And thank everybody for attending the class and all the input. And Pastor, thanks for your input that, you know, sealed the deal. And so now we will pray. Okay? All right. So we just...
Nothing.
Okay. Ready to pray? No, let's pray. Did someone have something to say? Okay. Lord, we just thank you for your word and this very crucial lesson. Lord, help us to stand firm in the good news of Jesus as we hold our ground on you. Lord, continue to bless the sick, the shut-in. Watch over Keela as she heals. Lord, give her the strength that she needs to endure what the time that she has for her healing process. God bless the mothers and all the other mothers, all the bereaved families. Watch over Lisa Thornton and her mom. And we're still praying with Darius and his kidney and getting on that list. And we know that it's close, it's coming. Lord, just bless everybody that in this class, bless and pray for the people and send peace to the people in Kansas City for the tragedy that happened today, Lord. And just, Lord, just cover us all. Keep us all safe and wrapped in your loving arms, Lord. Cover us and just keep us. This world is needs you right now. Lord, we just thank you and we ask all these blessings and prayers in your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Good lesson. Good teacher.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Great lesson. Great lesson. Good work, Kat. Good work. Good work. Good work. Next week, we're going to be talking about the supremacy of Christ. Deaconess Rebecca Johnson will have the helm. So we will see you guys on next week. Great lesson, great discussion. You know, this is on Sunday. We can't ask questions. In Bible class, we can. Sunday school, Pastor Day, yeah. But when the preacher preaching, you can't ask no questions. I mean, you know, it's not that kind of setting, right? But this is where we get to talk. This is where we get to talk about them things that we wonder about. And so that's what the blessing and the benefit of Bible class is. And, yeah, sometimes we go a little bit long, but it's 168 hours in a week. We owe God 2 hours and 40 minutes from each one of those days if we're going to give him a tithe of our time. So if we go a little long, well, I don't think we've ever gone 2 hours and 40 minutes. Okay, so, amen. We just give him back to God. God wants to give to us.
Yes.
So it's the benefit is for us. Amen.
True.
And we're going to be in heaven forever. We're going to be here temporarily, but we're going to be there forever.
Yeah, Pastor.
So that's what's up. Okay. And thank you again, Kat. Thank you. Appreciate you. Tell little man we said, hey, good night. And that was cool to meet his pops, though. You know, that was cool. But anyway, and Jacob Rivron, got a chance to meet him, too. Only heard his voice, got a chance to see the young man. Amen. God bless. So God bless you guys. Keep you. Have yourselves an awesome evening. We'll see you guys on Friday for Bring Back the Family, and then Saturday for our worship service with Elder Joseph Stevens being the preacher. Then I'll be preaching this Sunday. We're going to be talking about ambassadors for Christ. We're going to talk about what it means to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, minister of reconciliation. So that's what we're going to be talking about on Sunday. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you.
Also keep all Maryland in the prayer.
Keep Maryland in the prayer.
Have a good night, Rep.
All right. Rev it up.
Outline our affections. Trace kindness from your acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. It gave us the ability to forgive those who sin against us, who lie and accuse
they frame and abuse, yet we get to choose to overlook the offense. And when we sin, we repent. Our hope exists from the seed of your kindness. We were blinded, dumbfounded, you led us to repentance. Our hearts wicked, conflicted, you fixed it, untwisted, unbent, double knots high from sin. Your loving kindness stepped in and faith began. Turn hatred into compassion. Now we fashion the master's actions, and we have to go where he says go, speak what he says speak, following the footsteps that Jesus leads. As kindness leaks from the cross to the loss, and the cost was paid, we give it all back to the one who saves by what we say and what we do to his creation. So with patience, we ask that you clean kindness to heart hiding in ribcage. Let us spit lyrics that rave of his existence. Press kindness beyond the surface, so our work is more than just service to a community, but evidence of a divine unity of Father, Son, and Spirit at work behind the curtain of our lives. Let it soak in all our lives, 'cause you give life to those who pursue it. Let us subdue it, taste it, and chew it. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit. As the Spirit feeds the